afternoon once again, everyone, and welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, the good news is it is Friday, heading towards the weekend, but bad news, it's been a bit of a dreary day here in central Wisconsin. The rain started earlier, and it's been pretty consistent. Light rain throughout the course of much of the day. But going into the weekend, can we expect a little bit drier conditions for any outdoor activities? Well, to find out the answer to that question and more, we're joined from weatherology.com by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. And Ray, again, it's just been a little bit of a wet day. Not overwhelming rain, but light rain throughout the course of the day.
You know, we've had some showers moving across the area, and they continue to do so at this hour. And in fact, as we go through the afternoon, that chance of rain will continue. High around 71 degrees with winds out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, showers will taper off with a low of 56 and east winds at 5 to 15. Cloudy tomorrow, but we should stay dry. Look for a high of 71 degrees. Sunday, chance of showers with a high temperature of 64. Monday, sunny, 73 for the high temperature. And for Tuesday, sunshine with a high around 73 degrees. I'm meteorologist Ray Miller from the Weatherology Weather Center.
Well, it sounds like the next real big dose of sunshine will come when we get back to work early next week, won't it?
Looks that way. Pretty prolonged stretch of weather for the first half of next week where we'll have a decent amount of sunshine and some mild temperatures as well.
Okay, Ray. Well, thanks a lot for the information. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you again next week.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now in Wausau, that light rain continues to fall. Boy, it's just been consistent since earlier this morning. Light rain temperature stands at 64 degrees. Winds light out of the east at 3 miles per hour. The dew point is 57, relative humidity of 78%. The barometer at 30.11 inches and a visibility of 9 miles. Well, still on the schedule. Still set at this point. When I get done with the program at 4 o'clock to head over to Sunnyvale Softball Complex, the Newman Cardinals in action against the Prentice Buccaneers. Right now that game is still on. The baseball game between Newman and Prentice has been postponed because of the weather over at Brockmeyer Park. But Brockmeyer tends to be a little bit more difficult when you get any kind of rain. So hopefully the rain will come to an end and we'll have some high school softball coming up. 4:30 airtime, live online, bullfallsradio.com, sports stream 2, first pitch at 4:45, and then a rebroadcast on tape delay, on tape delay here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO at approximately 7 o'clock. So if that changes between now and 4 o'clock, we'll let you know. But right now, at this point, the game is still on between Newman and Prentice in high school softball. Also, earlier today, I'm always surfing around, looking at what's going on in terms of the news, look at local sources, national sources, trying to keep up to speed on what's going on. And something kind of jumped out at me. I went on to WAOW.com earlier this afternoon before the show started. And at the time, there were four stories that were listed as, you know, the top four stories at the time because they've come in, three of which involved vehicle crashes, fatal vehicle crashes. And from time to time, I've talked about this. And I think, again, I don't think many people really do talk about it on their radio programs, but I kind of, you know, it just, I find it so depressing that we are still involved in so many fatal vehicle crashes that really should not happen. Especially, you know, I look out there today, it could be, you know, some slick spots with the rain and stuff like that. But at the same time, if we just do the right thing, should be able to get from one place to another without causing the loss of life. And I was looking here, the top story, a Reedsburg student dies after being hit by truck on Wisconsin Highway 33 while boarding a bus. I mean, come on, truck killing a student while getting on a bus? Also, I'm sure a story that you'd heard about, two Gleason residents died in a fatal crash on State Highway 17, one of which only 22 years old. Again, it just, you know, it's heartbreaking. And then third, six kids among the injured after SUV hits buggy in Trempealeau County. So the buggy was not going very quickly. I, again, I... I'm not going into the details of these stories in terms of whether or not, you know, they were unavoidable. I don't know. I don't think they would have been unavoidable. But at the same time, take your time. Friday evenings, a lot of people off traveling to a fish fry or other Friday evening activities. Weekends, people travel all over the place for whatever activities they're involved in. Make sure you get there safe, and then make sure you get home safe as well, not only for yourself, but for the people also on the roads. I noticed that when I was going through some of the sites today, and I saw that three of the four latest stories involve vehicle accidents that led to the loss of life. We're going to take a time out and lighten things up. We're going to talk some Wisconsin sports. Going to be talking to Paul Micklegg coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 3:13 on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back, Friday edition. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Always nice to end the work week, head into the weekend, lighten things up a little bit. Instead of me railing about this or railing about that, let's talk about, well, I can rail about sports too. Saying, last week I was railing
last
a lot.
Last week, Bud, you're in size.
I'm going to preview, when we get to that topic, the names that are being bantied about do not exactly blow me away at this point, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Again, here's Paul Micklegg from New McCathic, their two-time defending state football championship coach. Also track and field, and today off to Marshfield for a meet to wrap up the week.
Yeah, just a little tune-up before the conference meet next week. And spring sports, as you know, Chad, is coming to an end quickly. So, we only have... this will be the last regular season kind of thing. And then
I was saying that the other day that it's amazing that it's coming to an end, because basically it's been lousy weather the whole time. And it feels like spring is just starting now. Instead, you know, now, and you got, your regionals coming up and sectionals and states and same thing with baseball and softball as well. It's just like, hey, we should be just getting into it right now. And also the end of the school year. I mean, it's just, I don't know about you, but every year goes by so much quicker, and it feels like, holy cow, another group is going to be graduating here in the next few weeks. I imagine it's kind of the same for you after all these years.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And I know with school setting for us, and we got a lot of things going on at this time of year, and senior class trip and baccalaureate mass and awards night, and then you got graduation. I mean, so that's we just named 4 days there in the next couple of weeks that you got things going on. And then also then you throw in the athletics part of it. So the next couple of weeks fly by, and that's part of life, is that they as a high school in athletics, they come and go. That's 4 years, and you try to make everything out of their time that they have possible. And then once you get to June, you kind of got to regroup and start it all up over again.
Start that football thought process. It's actually funny. The other day I was at a game and I ran into a West football player who's a junior, so he's going into his senior year, and he says, well, what games are you looking forward to? Already looking forward. And then I listed like 9 games. So.
yeah. You got to have a balance of looking forward and living in the moment. And that goes for anything, and goes for you, obviously, as an announcer, and goes for, because it goes fast, and you want to make sure you get everything out of it. Mm-hmm. And nothing's guaranteed. That guy always telling me before the football season, you're only guaranteed 8 games. Mm-hmm. It's up to you what you do. And you probably can do that in life. You're not guaranteed anything except for today. So you got to get everything out of it. And that's why we like being with you here today on the Friday.
That's real funny, though, when you talk about not being guaranteed, because that's, I think, one reason why I hate the folks that say, well, tank. If you're a favorite pro team, date your tank. There's no guarantee I'm going to be around to see when you get good again.
Because if the Bucks don't win a championship in another 50 years, I'm going to take the guess that I won't be here.
Exactly. So let's talk about football, because the Packers, the schedule came out yesterday. Have you circled the games you're already looking forward to? Did you look at it?
I did. Okay. I mean, you got, obviously, you got 5. Honestly, I think it's actually, even though I think they have teams that their schedule, well, because they didn't win it, obviously, so you kind of look at it, it changes from year to year anyways, but I think their schedule would be easier, but then you put some of those games on bad. I truly believe sometimes it's not who you play, it's when you play them off of things like that, you know, and example, Packers going to Detroit on Thanksgiving. That's not a good matchup for them. Not because Detroit's great. I'm not even saying that'd be a good matchup or wouldn't be a good matchup. It doesn't matter any time. The last 5, 6, 7 years, they've had trouble going over there. Mm-hmm. They played them at the end of the year a lot. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the couple times that they've gone over there, it hasn't looked good. They haven't been, especially on Thanksgiving.
Right. And they've, you know, heck, when they're, you know, Detroit's better now. I mean, even when they were bad, you know, they needed a 65-yard heave by Aaron Rodgers to win the game a few years ago. So it's like, I found it interesting, just looking at it, to play Chicago first, because both Favre and Rodgers were known for beating the Bears. And if Jordan Love goes into Chicago and loses and is 0-1 against the Bears, people are going to be saying, hey, where did our dominance against the Bears? I mean, it's really ripping that Band-Aid off from the era of Rodgers going to Jordan Love. And the thought is, well, he better go in there and prove that he can have the Bears' number as well, even though the Bears are also a team that's going to be much improved.
Are they going to be much improved?
I think they are going to be much improved.
Who said that?
I said it.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I think the deal that they made
was a good trade.
It was a good trade. Whether or not it's going to benefit immediately, I think with more the wide receiver coming, they needed help in that area to help their quarterback. Because as talented as anybody can be under center, you have to have skill out there. That's, I think, one of the things for the Packers that I think they did a nice job at, on draft night. I think they're going to continue here in free agency to help give some targets to Jordan Love. But again, the quarterback is just part of, it's a huge part of the equation, obviously, but part of the equation. I think Chicago is going to have better targets this year, not just be a running team, whether the running back or the quarterback. Because, I mean, their running numbers were insane, but they get 3 wins last year, whatever it may be.
They're not going to be able to run the ball with the quarterback like they have been and be successful in the long haul. I'm not saying that they're not going to be better than the Packers. If you really look at it, you want to go Green Bay, if they can go 1-1 in the first two games, that would be a great thing. But the reality of it is Green Bay is going to go in there as an underdog. And if anybody thinks differently, they're kidding themselves.
You know what reminds me of? A few years ago, after the Bears had the playoff year and the Packers started the season off with a couple of games on the road, including Chicago, I think you said the very same thing. If they can be 1-1 after this, and I think they were 2-0 actually that year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I mean that's we gotta.
You're Mr. Realism here.
Well, we gotta take a step back here and think, like, you know, if somebody's going through there and wins and this and that right now, do we even know anything about this team right now?
I mean, we haven't gotten to free agency yet. I mean, there's going to be changes. We don't know, because you know they're going to
free agency. It's been happening for months.
No, but I mean the Packers, I think, are going to be adding like a quarterback. I don't think they're going to go in with Clifford as their number 2 quarterback. Do you think that's going to be the case?
I'm going to be honest with you. If we're playing with a backup quarterback in the first week of the season, we're in trouble.
Well, the thing is, I think there are teams that need to have that second team. I mean, you look at Lance with San Francisco. I think he's a Jordan Love type quarterback, and how he's, you know, been hurt all the time. I think this, you're going to need a backup quarterback. I think the way the Packers have been rolling the dice for the most part for the last 30 years, it's going to be very difficult to go with one quarterback.
Correct.
I think they're going to need a veteran quarterback. You may say, well, it's going to be trouble. I think that, who knows, it may be the best thing, because we've seen in the past where a quarterback gets hurt and the backup comes in and does a great job. I think there's going to be a possibility for the Packers to actually have a very good backup quarterback.
Correct. But that doesn't, I mean, Nick Foyle, where was he at last year, Chad?
Indy.
Yeah. How did they do? If the team's around him, it doesn't matter.
He was the third stringer.
We're putting. If Jordan Love is going to have to be, he played though. He did play though.
Yes, he did. And very poorly.
Yes. Okay.
And he just got cut 2 weeks ago.
Correct. So my point being is not. I agree with what you're saying. If your team around you is where it's going to be. If we're trying to get Jordan Love to get to where we can be successful as a team, it's not going to matter who is our backup quarterback, because that team around it's going to have to be good enough. Right. That's what's going to be finding out. I don't care if Jordan Love and Nick Foles is the same way, as the same kind of player, and that team around him is not good, it's not going to matter. We're going to have the same results. So then you might as well spend that money somewhere else and make sure the team is better, because otherwise that's just a waste of money. I don't understand if for whatever it is, and I'm not talking, but if you can put $2 million somewhere else on somebody else's contract that's going to help us from 3 years from now, and I know that you hate saying that, but or even this year, why would we?
No, I understand what you're saying, but again, it is a position, I think, of need. I think, again,
what about receiver?
I agree with that, but at the same time, I guess I'm not saying that this is a true rebuilding season. I still think they have a potential of being a pretty good football team.
I don't disagree with that.
I think that they still can be a pretty good. I think with the running backs, I think they're going to be able to run the ball very well. I think if these tight ends step up, I think that they still have the potential. And again, if we go back a year, and I know that Joe Barry is somebody that you don't trust, but I still think there's talent on the defensive side of the football. I think that,
but he's a defense coordinator. Right. That's not going to help us. No, and that kind of goes back to what I'm saying with the quarterback.
I understand what you're saying, but I still think that I'm not willing to wipe it off that this is going to be a 5-12 season. I guess
I don't.
I think that this is a better team than that. If you look at the defense, I think you look at some areas of the offense, I think there is a potential to be a pretty good football team. Whether or not
Aaron Rodgers was 6-10 his first year.
I know. Yeah. They lost, and the thing is,
and they lost in the NFC Championship the year before.
No, yes, that was a terrible defensive year. They lost both their tackles that year. I mean, there are reasons why, and they still lost a lot of really close games. And Rodgers put up incredibly good numbers that year as well.
So you're asking? Hey, am I saying he didn't play
no,
bad?
I'm saying it was a very, it was a year where that easily could have been a much better year. I don't think that was a team that was, again, it's, you know, you are what your record is, obviously. But I think, you know, I think if you look at some of the building blocks, I think this Green Bay team has the potential to be a Tennessee-like team when LaFleur was the offensive coordinator, where you're not counting on your quarterback completely to carry you like Aaron Rodgers did the last couple of years.
That's the old saying goes, hope for the best, expect the worst.
Yeah, I guess.
And that's where I'm going with. Is there any pressure on him? I don't think so.
No.
We might see LaFleur's offense, maybe. But we haven't seen any of this stuff yet. So, you know what I mean? Have we seen these receivers? Have we? You're playing, not you, but I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're playing with a lot of unknowns.
I'm not asking to pay $7 million for a backup quarterback. I'm talking about a backup position of any other position. And I know what you're saying as well, but you got to have another quarterback. I don't think you can't go in there.
Pretty sure we'll have a backup quarterback.
We'll
have a body out there.
I'm saying there's a potential to be a pretty good one, because there's always a guy out there. I mean, you've seen in the past.
We just cut a long snapper. Yeah. So good. I feel a lot better. That made me feel a lot better.
And they're also going to save money on the kicker, because I was talking to our new Civic Media sports director who was in Green Bay last week. And he said one of the weirdest things to see was, number one, not seeing Aaron Rodgers' nameplate, and they took down Mason Crosby's nameplate. That surprised me. I did not.
Well, he's not on the team.
Well, I mean, he's not signed, but I thought maybe they would. I mean, he could still come back, correct?
Correct. And he's not back right now. Why would they have it in there?
But I think, I mean, I wouldn't. Is that the way that it always is? I mean, if Aaron Rodgers' contract had come to an end and they were still talking to him, would they have taken his nameplate down?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they needed the room.
Really?
If they needed the room.
Okay. All right. They would have gave away his locker. I don't know this.
Okay, first of all, Aaron Rodgers and Mason Crosby are two separate things.
Well, Mason Crosby's been around for a decade and a half. He's been a pretty significant part of this team, whether he's a kicker or a quarterback.
I think Amos will be back, and he'll be the only one. He'll be the only one back.
Okay.
You don't draft a quarterback in the same round that they drafted Mason and think that he's not going to be the guy.
But I don't. I just. But I've not heard them say, "Hey, we're moving on."
And maybe Mason's saying it's time to move on.
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's had a great career, and maybe he doesn't want to go through that grind of another season, and nobody's really talked about him.
Or maybe he reads the tea leaves.
Correct. I mean, and maybe they would bring him in for a battle, but the thing is, though, he would probably, they're not going to give him money, right?
Right, and maybe it's easier to find somewhere else where they'll say, hey, you're going to be our guy. Or even, you know, 2 weeks into the season when some other guy chokes off a couple of them.
And that gets him out of what? You know, four or five months of, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly,
I mean,
that's
what he could be doing too.
Exactly. So we got to take a quick time out. We'll come back, have more with Paul McLeague here on Bull Falls Radio 98. And welcome back. Chad Holmes along with Paul McLeague here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 to 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Have I been better this week? Have I been a little less ornery so far?
Yeah, it's been good.
I think it's the music.
It was the music.
I want to be. I'm a big 80s guy. I grew up in the 80s, obviously, and the 80s are the best music, in my opinion. So.
I agree.
There you go.
And I like that first song that you had on, and this song, too. It's more, you must have had something different on last night. I think last week that was a problem.
I get, you know, music can soothe the savage beast. Soothe the savage beast, right?
Yes.
Hey, let's talk about the Brewers, because one of the most interesting numbers I've seen in a long time, in the last 10 games, the Brewers are 2-8. And they've picked up a game in the standings in the National League East, National League Central. I mean, when's the last time someone can go 2-8, be in second place, and they're a game closer because Pittsburgh's gone 1-9? And in fact, in the last 10 games, everybody in the National League Central has had a losing record. I mean, number one, that says that division right now is a dumpster fire. Number two.
Whoa, I want to back it up because I remember this guy. Man, I wish I could have.
I mentioned that Pittsburgh would be better.
Yep.
Chicago is really good.
St. Louis is great.
I will say it right now. At this point on May the 12th, I was wrong.
Wow.
I was wrong because it is a dumpster fire right now. So, I mean, really, it's like the Brewers are playing really poorly, and then Pittsburgh has really been playing poorly. The Cardinals, I mean, they finally won three in a row. But real quick, have you seen that story on is it Contreras with St. Louis? They signed him to a 5-year deal worth, I mean, close to $100 million, whatever, $80 million. Well, I can't remember what the number is, but they're a month into his contract, and they're already basically throwing him under the bus that he's not up to the standards of Molina, that we're going to make him an outfielder for a day. Then he said, no, we're not going to do that. Now we're going to just DH him while we work with him. I mean, you talk about just a disaster. When you have 5 years to go and you're a month into that contract, it feels like they're panicking a little bit to say, which you don't see very often.
Yeah, you probably said the word there. You panic a little bit, and when you got a lot on the line, and when I say a lot on the line, you got a lot of money on the line.
You talk about killing any trade value.
Well, you're just trying to get him even to feel comfortable, and trying to get him so he can swing the bat, and you want his bat in there, so you're trying to do anything to jumpstart him and see where he could go. I don't think that. You know, give it a couple months, he'll probably be back and everything will be happy and St. Louis will be winning because it's not going to take much for them to jump up, which I think I said last week.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he got a 3-game win streak. I think they picked up 2 games.
And that's how easy it is. And I mean, so they're going to be at the end, and we talked about that last week, by July and August, they'll be in the hunt. And, you know, it just is kind of crazy. A month ago, we were probably talking about a month ago, maybe even a little less, how great the Brewers are.
Well, you've been saying that, you know, you've seen these holes. I mean, they're not really hiding in plain sight, are they? I mean, the issues the Brewers are having are kind of there. That
they can't hit and they got no bullpen.
Right. I mean, you've been talking about that all season long, and I don't know how you fix this hitting thing because it's just been there. It's been there for such a long time now, and it just feels like expecting something different is what the definition of insanity at this point, right?
Yep. I mean, and they did this year try to bring those young guys up. And maybe, you know what I'm saying? So maybe, you know, and then Mitchell gets hurt. And
That one hurt.
Yeah. And so see how it is. And then the other guy that they were brought up gets hurt that they would have had in there. And those guys are hitting the ball. You know, I don't know. I mean, so they are trying. It's not like they're coming back with the same guys.
No.
It's just, unfortunately, these guys maybe weren't ready. Maybe there is a reason why, and they just kind of got pushed into it a little quick because they need to do something different. But, I mean, Yelich is Yelich,
Boy, did that guy, because he get old fast? Because there are times my back is bothering me. It feels like the man, he went from 25 to 50 in about a year.
And it's not changing, I don't think.
No, and that's the thing. And then the thing is, if you're, and that's one of the areas in the body, no matter what you're playing, if you're a football player, if you're a basketball player, if you're a baseball player, if you have a bad back,
you're in trouble.
Especially to play at the highest level. And it just looks like a man that's aged too quickly and they're kind of stuck with it. It's similar, in a sense, to the Ryan Braun contract, isn't it? Where they kind of had to kind of go through it for a few years and, you know, it just try to get as much as you can out of the guy, but there's really not a whole lot you can do about it.
So his contract was basically for his 2 years that he dominated, which, and again, kind of like Ryan Braun, you're right. It's exactly
at the time,
the same
people
thing.
Were saying, man, this is a great deal.
Yep.
That they didn't pay market value yet. He came down. The Brewers may have, you know, made a deal where normally Milwaukee does not make that kind of deal. So, again, it's not a great, it's not going to, is, you can't argue it's going to be a great contract, but it could have been a lot worse, to be honest with you.
If you can get something out of them, I mean, if you can get
even,
I said at the beginning of the year, 250, 270 would be great,
maybe 20
home runs, and that's what it is. I mean, that's.
Unfortunately, though, he's not a game changer anymore, because that one year where every time he came to the plate, it felt like he was going to go, you know, he was going to hit the ball right on the screws.
Correct.
You know, it was insane how in the zone he was and how quickly it just changed. I mean, it shows, and again, it shows how difficult it is at this level.
Correct.
If you're a little bit off, if your body's a little bit off,
it's over.
I mean, even like Clayton Kershaw, who pitched so well against Milwaukee on Wednesday, he looked like the old Clayton Kershaw, but over the last few years, he's been battling some physical ailments. So when he's feeling good, he's like this, and when he's not feeling good, he's very hittable. Again, the superstar.
Well, let's not give him too much credit because he did a pitch against the Brewers.
I guess so.
And,
maybe even with a bad back and arm, he could get through seven with one run.
Correct.
Alone, one hit allowed.
I'm on that. But they got to keep on looking. I hope they don't stop looking and offensively. The only thing I'm asking is because if they're going to settle for this is going to be a 500 year, and we just got to realize that. I just don't see them getting over the hump with that offense. That's just my
personal feeling. Right, and your pitching carries you as far, and as you said, even with the starting pitching, it's not like the old days where you could count on your starter to go 8 or 9 innings if you have the best starting staff in baseball. Nowadays, I mean, even if you have the best starting staff in baseball, you're going to get 6 innings out of them on most nights, and then you're still going to have to count on the last third, and there have been times this season, as you've noticed, that the Brewers' last third just has not been to the level that you have to be at. And in some cases, sometimes the end of the pitching staff is more important than the starters.
And the thing is, what was really concerning, to be honest with you, is sooner or later, Wade Miley kind of guy,
right,
and he got kind of beat up on Wednesday. They're only going to, the averages do average out. So, you know, I mean, those kinds of guys. And even Hauser coming back. They're like, hey, Hauser's coming back. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He's a 500 pitcher with an ERA of 4.5. That's what he is. That's what he's going to be on the average.
Right.
And so to think that every one of those pitchers are going to have a career year is unrealistic on that, especially that bottom four, four or five. You know,
and then you're blowing out your bullpen, and I mean, it's this.
Which you don't have, like, so then you get the holes there.
It's a circle.
It's a circle, and I just don't think that they have enough to cover it. That's just my personal feeling on it.
And the only thing is, everybody else has problems too. that's probably the silver lining right now for the Brewers.
And the thing is that they get on a hot run for some reason.
Right. I mean, they, you know, you look at all these problems, the other teams have problems too. So, again, it's like you don't see these super. I mean, even around baseball, Tampa Bay has been really good this year. But if you look in the National League, New York was supposed to be so good. Mets, and they're under 500, and they've been struggling badly. But They've counted on a bunch of 40-year-old pitchers, and sometimes it's not really wise to count on a bunch of 40-year-old pitchers because they're not going to be available.
They're not going to be available. And if you really think about the top guys and the top pitchers in the major leagues and the top hitters and stuff, it's really far and few between. I mean, I'm talking the level that they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're getting these guys that are getting their big contracts, you're taking a chance. So when we talk about Woodruff and Burns, for example, the Brewers.
Right.
There's a chance to give a guy like that a big contract. You know what I mean?
You can feel very confident if they stay healthy that the production is going to stay. Sometimes with hitters, they seem to fluctuate more, right? I mean, with great pitchers, it feels like if they stay healthy, you pretty much know what you're going to get with them, correct?
Correct.
But I'll tell you this right now,
the older they get,
right,
the
more
better chance. Correct. And that's the issue is, that's why.
If you sign a guy to a 7-year contract, you have to assume during those 7 years he's going to miss one full year with a Tommy John or something like that.
Yes. And I'm going to be honest, and I know you're going to get mad at me, because I'm not disagreeing that the trade at the time, and I don't think anybody would say
it. We're going to bring up Josh Hader here.
Yes.
Okay.
I just don't think that they wanted to pay for a guy that
for
there was.
For a closer.
For a closer.
And then a guy that didn't even want to go two innings. I know what you're arguing.
And there was a chance that he was going to get hurt. I mean, because he was going through it pretty well without it.
To argue, though, the timing sucks. You could have waited.
I'm not saying.
I said that
for the timing sucks, but I'm talking about long term.
I know. Sign him to a new deal.
And that's what I think
you have to make decisions. I understand that. I do understand that. That, in a sense, where are you going to spend your money if you're the Milwaukee Brewers?
Because if you make one mistake, you're in trouble.
Exactly.
You can't fix it.
And we've seen that with Yelich right now. You can't bring in another max guy right
and
now.
And who's going to trade for him?
Exactly. Last few minutes, the Bucks are in their coaching carousel.
Did you see Buds, though? I mean,
the Instagram message?
Yeah, I thought that was absolutely
classy
and, you know.
Even said nice things about the guys who fired him.
Yeah, I mean, he did say
that
he was friends with him. Horst said he was friends with Bud yet. And, you know, and he did bring him in, obviously, so he was friends. But to have that, you know, if you didn't have a little tear in your eye when you read it, because that he was a good human being, and you know, I'm a Mike Sherman, you know, and stuff like that, and people that actually care about the city and stuff, and I've always said
that wanted to be there.
They wanted to be there, and they wanted to have success for the city, and they were really cared about it. But it was classy, and I know in today's society, you were bringing it up to move on to see the other people behind them, but I just think that it should be noted that there is a lot of good people out there, a lot of good coaches, and the thing is, doesn't mean that it's always the right situation.
We will agree to disagree, because the thing about it is, you look at the guys like Scott Brooks, you know, he had some success in Oklahoma City, had a pretty lousy run elsewhere. You got James Borrego, who was at Charlotte, formerly a San Antonio assistant. The Golden State assistant, who's the former Nets coach, is probably the one that...
Kenny
Atkinson, yeah. Probably the one that excites me, and even Charles Lee, who's been such a top, because I do think that from what I've heard is this is not about blowing something up, that maybe a guy like Lee could be somebody that would be an option for the Bucks. But I mean, Atkinson, I think, is the guy that maybe he did such a nice job with the Nets, and he has not had a head coaching job since then, and maybe Lee, but the other guys don't really excite me at all. What about you? Anybody excite you? No, I mean, I'm trying to talk myself into it, but
they're all the same.
And there's a sense there when you fire a guy like Coach Bud with the record he had. I mean, even when you talk about even the playoff disappointment, he still won 60% of his playoff games. There's this sense that there's some magical guy out there. There's a magical guy.
It's all the same.
And I don't know, there's not really a magical guy out there.
No, they're all the same.
So this is basically trying to change it up in order to get maybe a little more juice out of this group in the one or two more years that you have with this group, correct? Is that
correct? And from what I gather, again, I know you're not going to want to hear me say this, but you know, when
it's
they
never stopped you before,
correct? So I'll just go at you with it anyways. But when they won the championship, they made adjustments a little bit more technically wise. And the last couple of years, he went back to, because the knock on him in Atlanta was he wouldn't change from his, going from his ways of this is how he wants it offensively, right. He wants it defensively. And he kind of went back.
He did change a little this season during the regular season. He did. There was
stories. Did we change and get Holiday off it? If you look at the times that he guarded Jimmy Butler, when Giannis guarded Jimmy Butler, like 70% of the time in the series, they beat him. The other time, he was 17% the first time, 19% this year. So that
real,
you know what I'm saying?
What are you going to say about that,
Chad?
All I'm going to say about this year is Giannis was hurt, and then he came back in game four. You saw him on the bench at times. The guy was still fighting that injury. So I'm going to say that this year is a little bit different than maybe in the past. Okay, but I can understand that is the reason why he was fired. Okay, I understand that. But you make the decision. Okay, you make the decision to move on. It's to be somehow better. When all is said and done, I have a big question mark whether or not the Milwaukee Bucks will be better off based on this decision.
And I would agree with you 100%, but I would add they might not have been better with Bud either.
Oh, I mean,
they might have lost the window. We talked about window might be gone.
And also, real about if they would have brought him back, the first time they had issues this coming year,
there would have been
a lot of talk around it, which it almost inevitably leads to it, even if they didn't want to do it. Once everything goes sideways, where people start, the walls start moving in, it just makes them more.
If they're 15-15 or 20-20, he would have been gone.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're not going to say that. I'm not saying that they did him a favor.
I'm not saying that would have been the right thing either, but I'd also realistic about it as well, in that having somebody new in takes away that aspect where you can actually grow into a season. Because what we found out this year is a lot of people, it's all about the playoffs.
Correct.
So if they were 15-15, then what's the problem here? I mean, it's all about the playoffs.
Correct.
So now at least you have that off the table. And if they are 15-15, you continue the process of trying to put this team together for the playoffs.
They actually speeds up Horst and the new coach, because he would have gave himself more time if he would have just kept Bud, because they're actually starting the process now. So now, they only got a two-year window or whatever the case might be, because I'll tell you, if they don't win it in 2 years, unfortunately, this is how we've talked about last week, this society works. Horses now, this is going to be a second guy. So if something fails with this hire, guess who's going to be gone?
Right. You get one if you're a GM, and then the second one, you better hit out the park or else, hey, we're going to have somebody else make the next decision.
Correct, because by that time, all those guys will be gone,
exactly.
too, because they're too old. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Then it's a true rebuild. So, it'd be interesting to see, and I'm be curious to see if Bud jumps right back in as well. I mean, there's not really a job out there that I would say that jumps out, because I think he's
got to feed his family, so he probably needs some job, Chad, according to you.
Oh, brother. You're going to end it on that note?
I'm just saying.
When I said it was not about the money, it had nothing to do with the money.
But the thing is, I just feel bad that he's not going to be able to feed his family next week.
Brother, I'll go down there and bring him a piece of Tupperware with some casserole in it. Because I have a heart here.
I have a heart. And I think the whole state of Wisconsin does too, to be honest.
I know. We like Bud. And when he does come back, I bet you he'll get a great response when he comes back as a coach somewhere else.
100%.
Because he'll be back sooner rather than later.
I'm going to be honest with you, though. The last thing I'll say is I think he's done.
You don't think
just for the Instagram? I think that he...
Or maybe take a year.
I think he might be done. What is he, 58, 59?
Oh, yeah, he's...
I don't think that he did what he accomplished. I don't think he is in for a paycheck.
No.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I don't think he actually is. He's got everything he ever wanted in his life. I could see him being done. That's just my opinion.
Or be a guy that just enjoys being around the game in some other way as well, because there's a lot of pressure involved in that, Not everybody's Popovich. And it just seems like he just wants to be coach all the time because he just loves it so much.
His brother passing away.
Yeah, that's a big factor.
I think that's a factor that you realize,
you know,
life can go, life is fast, and you got to enjoy it while you have it.
Well, enjoy your weekend.
You too, and enjoy that softball game this afternoon.
I will, and you enjoy your track meet. That's Paul McLeg. We'll come back, wrap up the week coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Today, Friday, May the 12th, day number 132 of 2023. There are 233 days left in the year. Some famous events that occurred on this date in history. In 1780, during the Revolutionary War, the besieged city of Charleston, South Carolina, surrendered to British forces. On this date, in 1932, the body of Charles Lindbergh Jr., the 20-month-old kidnapped son of Charles and Ann Lindbergh, was found in a wooded area near Hopewell, New Jersey. On this date, in 1933, the Federal Emergency Relief Administration and the Agricultural Adjustment Administration were established to provide help for the needy and farmers. On this date in 1943, during World War II, Axis forces in North Africa surrendered. The two-week Trident Conference, headed by President Franklin D. Roosevelt and British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, also opened in Washington. On this date in 1949, the Soviet Union lifted the Berlin blockade, which the Western powers had succeeded in circumventing with their Berlin airlift. On this date in 1958, the United States and Canada signed an agreement to create the North American Air Defense Command, later the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD. On this date in 1970, the Senate voted unanimously to confirm Harry A. Blackmun as a Supreme Court Justice. On this date in 1986, the military action drama film Top Gun, starring Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis, and released by Paramount Pictures, had its world premiere in New York City. 10 years ago today, Serena Williams kept her number one ranking and added career title number 50 as she beat Maria Sharapova 6-1, 6-4 in the final of the Madrid Open. 5 years ago today, this date in 2018, North Korea said it would dismantle its nuclear test site later in the month in what analysts described as a mostly symbolic event that wouldn't represent a material step towards denuclearization. And 1 year ago today, Finland's leaders came out in favor of applying to join NATO in part of a historic realignment on the continent's just 2.5 months after Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine sent a shiver of fear through Moscow's neighbors. Some famous people celebrating birthdays today. Celebrating a birthday, country singer Billy Swan, 81 years old today. Actor Lindsey Krause is 75. Singer-musician Steve Winwood. He started as a teenager, as a member of the Spencer Davis Group. Great solo career as well. Steve Winwood, 75 years old today. Actor Gabriel Byrne is 73. Also 73 is Bruce Boxleitner. And 73 is singer Billy Squire. Rock musician Eric Singer of Kiss is 65. Actor Ving Rhames turned 64. Actor Emilio Estevez, 61 years old today. Actor Kim Fields turning 54. Actor Samantha Mathis is 53. Also celebrating a birthday, actor Mackenzie Astin, who turns 50 years old today. Actor Rami Malek is 42. And actor-singer Claire Bowen is 39 years old today. If you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Well, that's going to wrap things up for this week. Again, glad you could join me today and throughout the course of the week. I'll be back coming up on Monday from 2 until 4 p.m. Have yourselves a great weekend. Stick around. Coming up next from 4 until 6, it is the Devil's Advocates with Crudy and Dom. Have, again, a great weekend. Thanks for joining me. I'm Chad Holmes. This has been the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, go get that Civic Media app.